Good morning out there, everybody in social media land, wherever you're watching from. It is wonderful to be back here again, out of the house, out of quarantine. And me and Trevor especially want to thank you for the thoughts, the prayers, the food, the well wishes, everybody who checked up on us while we were in quarantine. We are so grateful and thankful to be among a loving family here at 36. And it's only a couple more weeks away until we can finally assemble again and be with each other as a family and a body of believers. And we're looking forward to that. And as we begin this hour of worship, we want to center our minds with a word of prayer. So with that, let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for waking us up today, this Lord's Day, to come together virtually and physically to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for all the many blessings that you richly give to us on a daily basis. And we thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And as we approach this hour of worship, we ask that we set aside everything that would distract us. And we ask that the speaker this hour has a steady recollection of all the things that he has studied. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name.
We are glad to have you with us, joining us as we study from the Word of God today. We begin today with this language, today is the day. And a lot of folks would respond, no, I'll do it tomorrow. Or, you'd better get it while you can, folks will say. Don't hesitate, don't wait, don't procrastinate. This deal won't pass you up, don't let it pass you up. We have lots of folks who try to sell us things on television. You know, they'll tell you that you've only got 12 hours to sign up and get this wonderful deal. You got to do it today. Today, today, today. Our text is going to emphasize that word as well, and it's really quite interesting. In the last section, it ended with talking about our man Moses' faithfulness in the household of God, in God's family, as a servant. And Jesus' faithfulness over the household of God as son. And now there's a real call for us to be faithful today. And we'll emphasize that word today. Our text begins in verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart, as in the rebellion, in the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Interesting language. It's a real call. In reality, this is a passage, interestingly enough, that the folks who are getting this letter may well have heard frequently when they come to synagogue. It was used as a kind of call to worship, to call for them to be rather sober-minded, to be faithful, and to remember the unfaithfulness of their fathers, the Jewish folks who'd gone before. Psalm chapter 95, verses 7 through 11, is the text that's going to be quoted here, and it really is a most important passage. It's a passage that emphasizes this need today. I always tell folks, as long as it's today, there's hope for us. And so he begins with this language, today if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. The language is really playing off of, interestingly enough, Numbers, the book of Numbers. And it's going to focus on this word unbelief because of their unbelief. And it's really quite interesting. If you were reading this text from the original language back in Psalm 95, verses 7 through 11, you're not going to get the words rebellion and testing. Instead of rebellion, you're going to get the word Meribah as a place name, and you're going to get Massah instead of testing for the second one as a place name. It's interesting because where these two events occurred, good old Moses is going to name the places. And so it's going to be interesting what happens. In reality, we're playing off of Numbers chapter 12. And really, interestingly enough, back in Numbers chapter 12, verse 7, that's what we saw back in chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And now in the text that we see before us, it's really Numbers 13 and 14. In reality, God is talking about originally the rebellion that took place. And Psalm 95 is written by David a long time after this first event occurred. They are at Kadesh Barnea. God has delivered them out of Egyptian bondage. He's taken them through the Red Sea. He's blessed them with manna. He's been blessing them all along. And so they get to Kadesh Barnea, and they're ready to go in and take the land. And so they're going to send out twelve spies, one for each tribe. And only two of those spies are going to come back with a positive report, Caleb and Joshua. The others will say, we can't do it. The land is great. They're going to come back, interestingly enough, with grapes, milk, and honey. And they'll talk about these impregnable cities and the giants that are there. And we just can't take the land. It's so big. We can't take it. And so they're going to be putting God to the test. And they will be rebelling against God. They'll say, we want a new leader. We want somebody other than Moses to lead us. And we really want to go back to Egypt. At least we had food there and everything was taken care of. Let's go back there again. But you see their hardness of heart. And so the verse ends with this wonderful language. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the day of rebellion, in the day of the testing in the wilderness, where you put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. And so for 40 years during the wandering, they're going to see the wonderful works of God. But God is calling them to repent that day, today, back then. And now David, many years down the line, is going to call them to repent as well. And so there's a call to repentance. The text goes on to say, therefore I was provoked in that generation and said, they shall not, they have always gone astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. It's interesting because there are two words that are really sort of central to the text. One is this rebellion, because that's what they've done. And the other is they shall not enter my rest. It's interesting because our author, the author of Hebrews, is going to play off of that. He'll later on talk about the fact that initially that rest is what God did. You know, God creates new things every day, and then on the seventh day he rests, and that's how we get Sabbath. God rests on that day. And then he'll talk about the fact that good old Joshua is going to take them into the land, and when they get into the land, they get some rest, because you'll remember on the other side, as they're getting ready to go in, they'll talk to the folks who were satisfied with the land on the other side and will say, you can come back here once your brothers get rest on the other side. And you're reading along in Joshua, and Joshua will say, okay, they found their rest. You can go back home again now. But he says, you know what? That rest is still available today. The rest is available today. And I think our author is playing off of that. He's basically going to be saying the rest is available for you today. It's rest from the turmoil. You see, indeed, when they get into the promised land, they're going to have to fight off all of those folks, and all of a sudden they've got some peace and things are going peaceably, and the rest was going to be available for them. But as long as they don't rebel against God, the rest is available. It's interesting because in Numbers chapter 14, you get this language from God. The Lord will say, how long these people treat me with contempt? How long they refuse to believe in me in spite of all the miraculous signs? How long, how long, how long? They've had lots of opportunities. But God has a rest available. And the author of Psalm 95, David, is saying that rest is still available today. But you got to be not like the folks, your ancestors. Because if you're going to be like them and you're going to rebel against God and disobey, then you're not going to enjoy that wonderful rest which is made available for you. And you can't treat me with contempt. You've got to listen to my voice. God forgave them in the wilderness, but those folks aren't going to get to enter the land. And so we read on. Take care, brethren, that there... not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. I don't want you to be like those folks. You say, they've got an unbelieving heart. They don't believe what God has promised them. They're going to fall away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. As long as it's today, I want you to take some time and just encourage your brothers and sisters, the author of Hebrews is saying. I know that language was good old David talking to folks back in his day, but here I am talking to you about what's available to you today because of what Jesus has done. I want you to enter that rest, and I want you to encourage one another as long as it's called today. It's always interesting to me. There are always folks who are saying, well, I've been so bad so long, but as long as it's today, there's always hope for you. No matter how bad you've been, no matter how much wrong you've done, as long as it's today, there's a chance. There's hope. There's something special. And then he's going to ask some rhetorical questions in just a moment. For we have become partakers of Christ. You see, we now have this wonderful rest that's been promised. If we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm till the end. While it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. I don't want you folks to be like those folks. I want you to understand what's happening here. And now he asks all these rhetorical questions. Listen to the rhetorical questions. For who provoked him when they heard? Well, it was those folks back then, right? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Well, everybody who's an adult who comes out of Egypt is going to die in the wilderness. Yes, indeed, it was all of those folks. They provoked God. And they came out of Egypt led by Moses. And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not those who had sinned, those whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And another rhetorical question. And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were not able to enter because of disbelief. And that word disbelief is a word that recurs again and again. The real issue is, do we have hardened hearts? Are we folks who aren't paying attention to God? Are we folks who haven't put our trust in God to deliver us from whatever's around us, to deliver us from this pandemic, to deliver us from the difficulties that we're facing, to be with us? Do we put our trust in God? Indeed, He is the God who makes the difference. And the real danger is that our lives can be characterized as unbelief as well. As long as it's today, there's hope. And so we need to encourage one another with that same kind of language today. Today is an opportunity. And that's what our author is basically saying. The author of Hebrews is emphasizing this whole idea of today. The opportunity is still available. And as long as it's today, there is hope for us. We have a wonderful blessing. Today is a grand day of worship. We get to come together on this Sunday and worship God. Today is this day, and I hope we'll take it very seriously. Our author wanted his audience to take it seriously. Today was a day for folks to be redeemed back in the time of Moses. Today is the day that's available for folks now in David's day when David writes Psalm 95. It's today when the author of Hebrews writes his book, and it's today for us. Today. Today is our chance, and so it's an opportunity for you to respond to the message of God today. If you need to respond in any way, we'd be happy to help you in doing just that, to confess Jesus as Lord, to be buried in baptism, to begin a life today as one of His servants. We are a blessed people, and we need to take advantage of today, and we need to encourage one another all the more as today approaches. Let's sing this closing song now. Let me share a few announcements with you as we close. Eddie Gray should get to go home from the hospital either today or tomorrow. He had back surgery and he's doing well. I think the surgery was kind of rough, but he's doing well now, and hopefully he'll get to go home either today or tomorrow. We learned that Ed Limley had been taken to the hospital this morning with some intestinal problems, so keep him in your prayers. Liliana Busseau, Linda's friend of Linda's, we want to keep her in our prayers. And others who are on our prayer list, please keep them in your prayers. Della would like to thank all of you who brought food for our pantry. Yesterday, a lot of food came in. We're grateful for all of that. Della was almost apologetic, saying she didn't get to give us a lot of notice ahead of time, but she'll have another one of those food efforts again in April, and we'll try to get you some more announcements about that as well. Next Thursday, if all goes well, Jenny and I will be traveling to Pigeon Forge to CYC to recruit students for Ohio Valley University. I'll be teaching the Bible class that Sunday morning. I'll record it ahead of time so you'll get to hear the Bible class. And one of our interns, we're not quite sure which one, either David or Trevor, will be preaching that Sunday morning in my absence. And so we're grateful for those two young men who step forward and who frequently do all kinds of things for us. We're grateful that David led us this morning in our devotional for the Lord's Supper, but we're grateful for them and for their work. I want to remind elders and deacons that we will have a meeting on March the 1st, and we'll have it in person this time here at the building at 7 o'clock. You're encouraged to come. Again, you probably will want to wear you will need to wear masks so that we don't expose anyone to the virus, but we'll try to meet on March the 1st at 7 here at the building. On March the 7th, Lord willing, we will be meeting again for worship, for Bible study and worship here at the building, March the 7th. So please keep that Sunday in mind, and it'll be nice to see folks' faces again, and we're going to try to meet for worship on that day. We're not quite sure yet. We'll decide on March the 1st whether or not we'll start with the Wednesday Bible classes, a Wednesday evening Bible class or a Wednesday afternoon Bible class, but we'll decide that on March the 1st when the elders and deacons meet again. But please keep us in your prayers as we make those decisions about what will be best for us. We're grateful that a few of our number have had the virus, but there are a few who have had it, and we're grateful that those who have are recovering and are doing well. Some of them are listening to us this morning, and we're grateful that they are recovering and doing well. We pray you'd be with us. Let's pray together as we close. We ask these. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for the ways that you bless us, and we're grateful that we've had an opportunity to come together in person for some and at a distance for others. As we worship you, we're grateful for the blessings that are ours in Christ Jesus. And we thank you that indeed today is a day that we can respond. Today is a day of salvation for us. And help us to take advantage of today to serve you and to share the good news with those around us. Help us to encourage one another as long as it's today. And again, we ask your blessings upon us as we strive to reach out and share the good news of Jesus with those in our community. And be with us this day. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.